Today we're going to learn Daf Ayin Ches Amud Beis of Masechta Shabbos. We're holding on Daf Ayin Ches Amud Aleph at the Mishnah at the bottom of the page, and we're continuing to discuss the Shiurim, the Ichai for Hotza'ah, Mirushos L'Rushos. Hamotzi Chevel Kedei Lasos Ozen L'Kupa. If a person takes out enough rope to make like a handle for a basket, Gemi Kedei Lasos Tali L'Nafel L'Kavra. He takes out a certain type of soft reed in order to make something to hang a sieve by. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Kedelitol Menumidas Minol Katan Lekatan. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, the shear is not to make a hook for a sieve, but rather it's the shear that you need to measure the foot of a child to see exactly what the size of his foot would be to make shoes for him. Niyar, if a person carries out niyar, it's paper. Kedelichtol Velav Kesher Mochsin. If the guy who's in charge of collecting the tolls is mochel on the tax, he receives like a receipt, and there are just two letters on the receipt that you have to show to the moches, and meaning to the toll collector, and then you won't have to pay. So that's how big the paper has to be in order to be chayiv, big enough to write the two letters that he writes on it in order to be putter, in order to show the toll collector, so you won't have to pay the toll. Vamotzi kesher mochsin, if someone carries out a kesher mochsin, a star that has that signet on it, so chayiv. Then he's going to be chayiv. Says the Gemara. Says the Mishnah further. Niyar machluk. Someone who carries out a paper that is erased, that's not royal exiva, kedei lichroch al tzlochis ketana shel paliyatam. The shear is the amount that you would need to wrap around a small jug of a parsimon oil. Or a person carries out leather of an animal that's not yet mu'ubad called sorcho, it's not yet been tanned and prepared for use, and is not royal exiva. So the shear is kedei lasos kameya, it's the amount that you would make the little kameya, the little amulet that you would put other parchments in, that the person would wear around their neck. Klaf, how much klaf does a person have to be carrying in order to be chayv? Kedei lichtov alav parsha ketana shebetfilin, to be able to write a small parsha of tefillin. Shehi Shema Yisrael, which is the parsha of Shema Yisrael. Diyo, how much ink? Kedei lichtov shtei osios, the amount that you would need to write two letters. Chol, how much blue eye coloring? Kedei lichol ayinachas, enough to put on one eye. Devek, how much glue? So kedei litin brosh hashafshaf, in order to put on the top of a small board. Zephes v'gafris is kedei lasos nekev, to close a hole. These are like different types of like tar that would close over a hole. Shava, wax, kedei litin al pi nekev katan, also to put over a small hole to make it, I guess, waterproof. Charsis, if you have like crushed brick, it's kedei lasos pikur shel tzarfei zohav, to fill the hole that's in the oven of the goldsmiths where they would put the fanner by the oven. Rabbi Yehuda Omer kedei lasos pitput, it's to make a pitput where they put the smith's utensils, I guess. I'm not sure what kind of utensils. Subin kedei litin al pi kor shel tzarfei zahav. The amount of subin that you would need is enough to put on the mouth of this kli that goldsmiths use. That they would in a place where they didn't have coals, they would light up the fires in the core using subin. So the subin would be put in this slot where it was used as the fuel for the fire that the goldsmiths would use. Sid kdei losud ketana sheb babanos. Sid, which was a hair removal type of product, the amount that you would need to be chayiv for hotzah is the amount that you would use on a young girl to remove her hair, to remove unwanted hair. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, kedei lasos kilkol, it's the shear would be the amount that you would need to make her hair matted, like on her head. Rabbi Nechemya Omer, kedei losud undifi, the shear would be enough to be losud undifi, which we'll have to see in the Gemara exactly what that means. We're going to see that, Bez Hashem and Daf Pei, exactly what that means. So now, it says the Gemara, the Mishnah said that if you take a chevel out, the shear is enough to make a small handle to grab a basket, whereas if you take out gemi, the shear is to make like a hook to hang it by, and that shear is less than the amount that you would have for a handle for a basket. So frek the Gemara, chevel nami l'chayiv kedei lasos tlayin l'nafal l'kabra. why by a rope is it not enough? Would you not be chayiv when you just take out enough to make a hook? Why would you need, or something to hang on a hook? Why would you need to make a whole handle in order to be chayiv? So kivan decharik mana, since it's very hard, lo avidinshi, people don't make hooks out of them. They would use a softer material to make a hook off of the end of a cleat to hang it on, well, not a hook, but the thing that hangs on a hook, the loop, I guess you would call it. Tan Rabbanan, the Braisa tells us as follows, hutzin, leaves of a lulav, kedei lasos ozen lasal kfifa mitzris. It's to make a handle for baskets that are made out of those things that grow around a decal tree, around a palm tree. Siv, someone who carries a certain type of strand that grows around a palm tree. Achirim omrim, kidei litin al pi mashpach katan l'sanein es hayayin. The amount that you would put over a small strainer to strain out the wine. Revav, grease, the shiru week, they losuch tachas aspigin ketana, to put under like a soft, a small cake. The kamash yura kesela, and the size is about the size of a sella. So ask the Gemara of Tanya, we have another price that says that aspigin is kegrogeras. So idividi chach yuruhu, sella and grogeras are the same size. So mochin, we said something soft, the shiru is kede lasos, means it's like stuffing of a pillow or something, is kede lasos, kador ketana, to make a small ball, the kamashiro keegos, like the size of an egos, I guess we would like for children to play with or something, like a stuffed ball. Niyar, we said, is kidei lichtov lov kesher mochsin, the amount that you would need to write on it, the kesher mochsin, which we said was like a receipt that you would present to the toll collector, so that you would not have to pay the toll. Tana, kama kesher mochsin, shtei osios, and how big does the paper have to be in order to be able to handle a kesher mochsin? Only has to be big enough to write two letters. Ura minhu, but ask the Gemara, I'll tell you a stira, hamotzi niyar chalak. If a person carries out a blank paper that was never written on, im yeshbo kedei lichtov shtei osios, chayiv. If it has enough to write two letters on it, you're chayiv. Vim lav, pater, and otherwise you're going to be pater. Sounds like the shir is kedei lichtov shtei osios of our osios, not from the, like it sounds from the Braisa, the shir is to write two osios of mochsin, because mochsim apparently write larger. So this is actually a stira, it's not a support. We're saying, how can you say the shir shtei osios? Because it says that the shir shtei osios, but we're talking about different types of osios. So Amar Rav Sheshes, my shtei osios shel kesher mochsin. Now, when the Braisa said that the shir of a piece of paper, shtei osios, it means not the types of letters that we would write, types of letters that they would write for the toll collector. Rava Amar shtei osios didan, ube sachiza dahainu kesher mochsin. That no, the size of the paper is to write two of our own letters, but you also need to leave a certain space blank in order to hold the paper so you could see both of those letters, and that together equals the size of a paper that they would write two letters of Kesher Mochsin. So ask the Gemara on Rava's Teretz, Meisvei, they ask on Rava, it says in the Braisa, Hamotzi Niyar Machuk, someone who carries out a paper that's been erased that's not Royal Luxiva, Ushtar Perua, or a star that's already been paid, which is also not Royal Luxiva, Im Yesh Beloven Shalom, if the white part of it has enough space to write two letters, or the entire paper is enough to wrap around a small jug of parsimon oil, then you're chayiv. Vimlav pater, otherwise you pater. So bishlam the Rav Sheshes to Amar my shteosios shteosios shel kesher mochsin shapir. I understand very well according to Rav Sheshes, who says that shteosios, the shear of shteosios means shteosios of kesher mochsin. So then I understand very well that this price makes sense, that if you have enough blank space to write shtei osios shel kesher mochsin, you're chayiv. El ravadam or shtei osios didan ube sachiza dahainu kesher mochsin hacha be sachiza lo tzarech. So, but according to Rava, who says that this shir of shtei osios means writing our own letters, and then you just need to leave a space to hold the paper by, and that's the shir of a kesher mochsin. So, over here, by a niyar machuk and by shtar perua, where you have the blank space, is the shir that's right to write two letters, you don't need a place to have to grab the paper by, because you could grab the paper in the makom hamachuk, in the place that's blank, and in the shtar, in the makom of the ksav of the shtar. So it says Markasha. So that's taka, a difficulty on the shita of Rava. Now Tan Rabban, hamotzi kesher mochsin ad shlo her ohu lemoches. If a person carries a kesher mochsin and has not yet shown it to the moches, to the toll collector, chayiv, he's chayiv for the hotza'a, but misha her ohu, Malchus, once it's already been shown to the toll collector, Potter. Now it's not Roi for anything anymore, and therefore he's Potter. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Af Misharo Lamochis Chayiv, Mnei Shetzarich Lo. Even after you've shown it to the toll collector, you're still going to be Chayiv because you still need it. So, my Benai, what is this Machlokas about? This Machlokas about if you've already shown it to the toll collector, are you still Chayiv for carrying it? Am Rabbi Ike Benayu, Rehiti Muchsa. The Machlokas is whether it's normal for people to still keep the Kesher Moksim, to show it to the people who run for the tax collector, that run after the people that are passing over the river, and like the cops on the road that are trying to chase down the toll jumpers. So Yehuda says it's normal to keep it in case you need to show it to the person who might stop you, and Tanakama says no, and most people aren't worried about that. They're not worried about getting stopped once they've already gotten through the basic entrance. Rava Amar, Moches Gadol, Moches Katan, Ikibinayu. The machloks between them is if there's a Moches Gadol and a Moches Katan. What does that mean? That sometimes there's a Moches Gadol that working underneath him, under his charge, a Moches Katan, because he doesn't want to stand by the bridge all day. So the guy who has the shtar originally, that he doesn't have to pay the tax, will show it to the Moches Gadol in his house. And Rabbi Yehuda says that it's the derech to keep that shtar in order to show it even to the Moches Katan, so the Moches Katan won't stop you, the guy that's actually stationed at the bridge. But the Tanakama says that no, once you've shown it to the Moches Gadol, you're not going to keep the shtar anymore, because the Gadol will give you simanim of what you can tell the Katan to let you buy, meaning the guy who really owns the bridge will tell you, oh, just tell the toll collector, and he'll give you some code word or something. You're not going to actually have have the receipt. And then a third possible explanation, the machlokas Rav Ashi Amar, Chad Moches Ikebenei. The machlokas between them is if there's one moches and you don't need the shtar for people who are running after it, and nevertheless Rabbi Yehuda still says that you would still keep it, because you still might need to show it to another moches by another bridge, and not to be Potter from the mechas. So in that way, you would say the moches sheni would say, "Look, I'm a trustworthy person. I'm not someone who runs away from the mechas." And that way, he won't cause you problems later on that you're being mavriach the mechas. I mean, you'll just want to use it as a way of showing your trustworthiness. So Tan Rabbanan, we have a brisa that tells us as follows: Hamotzi shtar chov. If someone carries a shtar chov from one rishos to another rishos on Shabbos, ad shelo prao, before it's been paid up, chayiv, he's chayiv for carrying it. Misha pro, once the shtar chov has already been paid, pater, he's pater for carrying it, because it's no longer useful, it's no longer chashuv. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, af misha pro chayiv, misha tzarech lo. Now, even if it has been paid up, you're chayiv because you still need it. My Benai, what are they arguing about, whether you need a shtar that's already perua? Amar Rav Yosef, osalash shtar perua, ik benayu. They argue whether it's osur for the malva to keep a shtar that the lova has already paid up. And Rabbanan Savri, osur lisho shtar perua, that the Rabbanan hold that it's usher to keep such a thing, because we're afraid that you're going to might come to collect with it again. So since it's usher to keep it, it's not a chash of a thing, and you're not chayiv for carrying it. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda holds it's mutter to keep such a thing, and you could keep it around for whatever, to cover your lachos al pitzlochiso, to use it as a bottle stopper or something. But it has some usage, so it is a davar chashav, and you would be chayiv for carrying it. Abayi Amar, a second possible explanation of the machlokas. Dukuli alma also lishol shtar perua. Everyone agrees you're not allowed to keep a shtar perua. V'hacha b'mod b'shtar shakasu shetzarech l'kaimo k'miflagi. And over here, the Tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda disagree about the following. In the case where the lova is moda, that shtar is not mozuyov, but he claims that he's already paid it. Does the lova need to be mekayim that shtar to show that it's not perua in order to collect with it? And that braisa is talking about a malva that takes out a shtar chov that's not mekuyim, and he carries such a shtar from one rishos to another rishos. So Tanakama savra, the Tanakama holds moda b'shtar shiksavo tzarich l'kaimo, that a person, when the lova was moda, that the shtar is written, then he has to be mekayim the shtar, and he has to admit that it's not parua. And since the lova tainas that it is parua, the malva is not able to collect with it. It's not roi to do anything with, and therefore you're not going to be chayiv for being motzi it. But Rabbi Yehuda savra moda b'shtar shiksavo Ein Sorach Lekaimo. Once he admitted that it's not Mezuyof, even if he's claiming that he already paid up, you're allowed to use that shtar to collect, and therefore the shtar is valuable, and you will be chayiv for carrying it. Umay ad shelo pro'o, umisha pro'o. What does the Brisa mean when it says, if it hasn't yet been paid, it has been paid, ad sheyomer lo v'parati v'lo parati. It's not about whether it has or hasn't, we don't know for sure what, but it's whether the lova has claimed that it has been paid or not. Or another explanation of the machlokes, Rav Amar Dekuli Amal Moda B'Shtar Shekesavo, Shetzarech L'Kaimo, that everyone agrees that if a guy was Moda, that the shtar is not Mezuyof, that he still has to be Mekayim the shtar, that it has not yet been paid, and if he claims that it's paid, then you're not going to be Chayiv for carrying such a shtar, because it's useless. It's not Roy for anything. And we're talking about a shtar that is Mekuyim, V'Hacha B'Kosvin Shover Kamifelgi. Over here we're talking about a case of, they're arguing about the halacha of writing a receipt, whether when the malva says that he lost the shtar, the lova has to still pay it, and the malva will give a receipt for the payment, or can the lova say that he doesn't want to be mekabel shover, because if I have to receive a receipt, that means I'm going to be responsible for hanging on to that receipt. I don't want to have that responsibility. So when it says misha pra'o, it means that the malva is motzi on Shabbos after the lova already paid it, and tanakama savra kosvin shover, that the malva can force the lova, when he doesn't have the shtar itself, to accept a shovar for the piraon in place of accepting the shtar, and mele the malva doesn't need the shtar anymore after it's already been paid, and that's why he's pater if he carries it. Rabbi Yehuda Savarein calls from shovar. Rabbi Yehuda says the malva is not able to force the lova to take a shovar in place of the shtar itself. The lova is able to force him to return the shtar, and mela the malva the malva still requires the shtar. He needs that shtar. It's a davar chashuv, and therefore he's going to be chayiv if he carries it outside. And then a final explanation of what this machlokas is about. Rav Ashi Amar Tanakam and Rav Yehuda disagree about a case where the lova carried out the shtar after he's already paid up the chov, and the malva has already given him his shtar back. When the Brisa says that a motzi shtar chov misha prao means that the lova paid back the chov, took the shtar, and he's the one that's carrying it. Tanakama says he's pater, because what does he need the shtar for? He could rip it up, throw it out, he doesn't have to worry about it anymore. And Rabbi Yehuda says he's chayiv, mipnei shetzarech larosel bal chov sheni, damar lechazi gavr depara anda. Now he may want to hang on to that shtar, because if he ever needs a loan again, someone may want to look at his track record of paying back loans. And what's the best way to prove his track record of paying back loans? If he can show his shtar, look, I once borrowed money, and this is the shtar that I have for it. So you see that I'm trustworthy, that I'm good to pay back loans. So therefore, it's a davar chashuv for him, and that's why he might be chayiv for carrying such a thing out. Okay, we will stop there, Bezos Hashem.